Hello and welcome to another episode of our MBSE podcast. And today we have a special topic. It's the industrial metaverse. And our two guests, Alessandro and Giovanni, have written a book about it. And that's what we were talking about it today. And if the names Alessandro and Giovanni sound familiar to our loyal viewers and listeners, it may be because they have both been our guests before, but it was 2 years ago in May 2023, we did a podcast about MBSE and AI. And the occasion was also a book that the two of them wrote. I had to look it up. It's Systems Engineering Neural Networks, published by Wiley. So, but I've already talked enough about Alessandro and Giovanni. They can better introduce themselves. So please, Alessandro, start and introduce yourself and then hand over to Giovanni.
Okay, Tim. So first of all, thank you for the opportunity of being once again a guest at your wonderful podcast. It's really commendable, you know, what you have created here. As for myself, my favorite topic. I'm Alessandro Migliaccio. I am a systems engineer. Been working in aeronautical companies. My current position is at Airbus as a product owner. And I've been for a long time interested into virtual reality technology and augmented reality technology and in connection with systems engineering at MBSE. And in fact, our first book was about also about the convergence of things, so AI and systems engineering. This time is about XR and systems engineering. So it's a recurrent theme in our research within the Association AI Shed, which I am president of, which is a small group of like a think tank of people that like to research, you know, niche technologies.
Giovanni, please introduce yourself.
Yeah. Hello, guys. Hello, ladies. Hello, gentlemen. At first, thank you for inviting us. As you told before, this is the second time for us in your amazing podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I am a subject matter expert and systems engineer in the aviation framework. And so we, Alessandro and me, work together in our association, cultural association. This is iShed, AI Shed, and we want to explore some metaverse and some new topic in the in at this time. So we have we want to have a lot of opportunity to explore new technology.
Great. So you already mentioned yet now multiple times the word metaverse. So when I think of metaverse, I think of a Meta Quest 3 headset, me playing Beat Saber or something. And now you're coming up with industrial metaverse. So can you give me and our listeners a little bit of an introduction what this is?
Yes, Christian. So first of all, we did not create the word industrial metaverse. I'm not sure who put the two words together, but we happily took it as reference, you know, to focalize our research. In industrial metaverse can be many things, really. We have taken it as maybe not talking about a singular technology, but a convergence, like a melting pot of different technologies that include the artificial intelligence, Internet of Things, XR, the blockchain, and cloud computing. And the word industrial is there to say that these technologies, once properly connected and made part of the same ecosystem, can serve the needs can create highly efficient industrial environments.
So it's not for consumers like Christian playing with his VR set. Okay. And now you have written a book about it. The title of the book is Industrial Metaverse Building Blocks. And the subtitle is The Model-Based Approach. So it's not, it's, we are in the model-based systems training podcast, so it's all about model-based. We will talk about the content a bit later. Let's first start. What inspired you to write a book? Well, that's a big project. So, what was your motivation?
Yes. Basically, it like the first book, it came from a source of frustration, really. But frustration can be really good to spark, imagination and motivation. Why not? So we have seen me, Giovanni, and other professionals we talked to that within our companies and many companies that deal with, so industrial products, that there are, as usual, a lot of proof of concepts and a lot of like different use cases for, let's say, virtual reality technology, although the metaverse does not cover just that, that end up nowhere. So scaling up the technology, so using it at scale, becomes increasingly difficult. So we end up we know what are these cases. So in assisted maintenance with augmented reality, they can be like colleagues, meeting in a virtual environment to listen and to perform like a training together with the remote trainer, and so on and so on. So there are different key critical and very well understood use cases for, let's say, having a sort of a metaverse type of environment. Although we had to fight with hesitation of managers, especially the ones from previous generations, that see XR like a gimmick, and well, not for what it is, that is sort of the beginning of a fundamental shift in industrial processes. To this day, many decision making remain skeptical, because of mainly like unclear return on investment and huge return on investment, yes, and huge investments that are necessary to scale up this technology, just the ICT infrastructure. If you remember, like during the pandemic, just the idea that we will all connect with the webcam on, sort of like put in crisis ICT infrastructures of most companies, and people started to stop using their webcam to, not to overload the infrastructure. Imagine if we did that with a 3D and like broadcasting of our 3D models of our products. It would be incredibly computation expensive.
Okay.
Yes.
So who should read this book? Who's the audience, and how should they apply this in their daily business?
Yes, I don't want to say like it's people that are sort of as frustrated as us, but people that really like many types of professionals that want to really start to understand. Okay, there's been a lot of talk about starting with Meta and ending with SpaceX and so about doing things in connection with a virtual environment. Or the convergence of technologies, but how, where to start, how to prepare the ground. That's why also the book is called The Building Blocks. It's really like what you need to put in place in order to start preparing, as I said, preparing the ground for the implementation and scale of this convergence of technologies. And win the reticence, from the people that are actually the decision makers, the investors, to do this, to really go for an industrial metaverse in industry.
Okay.
So all or most of the technologies are, well, they are already there. Now we have all the XR technology, we have blockchain, clouds, and all this stuff is there. But in the industrial context, well, as you said, we applied webcams and microphones. We were able to connect via Zoom and other ones, but all the other technologies are not used very often in our context. So why do you think now it's now the right time to start with the industrial metaverse?
Well, Tim, first of all, it's because now the hype is going down. So now
Yeah.
we sort of regroup and think about properly, it's before we were in the face, the pitfall of systems engineering, of a solution looking for a problem. It's like, oh, we have like amazing virtual reality and amazing whatever, the blockchain. And what do we do with it? Well, let's create some currency and we change it and we start speculate over it. So really made like little sense from certain point of view. So now that the hype is a bit down, especially on the 3D visualization technologies, we can start looking at it properly and start thinking about what we have available. So in industry, we already have available models, simulations, digital twins. We have a way to do predictive analytics. Perhaps these things are not connected together. So we have very ex excellent simulations. If we didn't have, we would not be doing airplanes or racing cars or anything or satellites. So for sure, we have amazing simulations, but they are doing for specific purposes. Like on a satellite, like a thermal simulation is on the solar array of the satellite is they don't it's not even conceivable to use that maybe for a marketing presentation because the marketing department does their own models and their simulations and the systems team does their own modeling and simulation and they don't connect them together. So that's why I say now is the right time because all so we are reaching the level so so much modeling the modeling effort it has reached a maturity level that we can start thinking about converging and connecting and putting all the data in a sort of data lake so that we can reach so every specialist can reach the data and analyze it from its point of view and a specific use case rather than having separated databases with data and modeling and simulations that are done for a specific purpose. That's
And I guess this is why MBSE is the foundation for it, because you also with MBSE you try to implement or connect different silos, right?
yeah, can I answer? So thank you. So we do believe that the MBC can support the industrial metaverse. We figure out the industrial metaverse where lots of model meet. And so anyway, so the MBC can provide a framework for modeling and simulating this scenario like more close to real world and real behavior. So in fact, the industrial metaverse, we mean so the real data stream from physical systems, okay, are crucial to maintaining an accurate virtual representation. For this, so the MBCE can integrate this data stream into virtual models. So we have to let me say we have to pay our attention to the fact that the MBCE and the industrial metaverse work on a complex interaction that shall be modeled and understood before implementation and during the operation, improving a lot the efficiency of metaverse, industrial metaverse, and why not the MBCE approach.
And well, you already mentioned before that you use XR technology. And now you combine it somehow with MBSE, no? Right? Did I get it right? And this one together improves then the efficiency of complex industrial systems. So how does it work?
So you told well. So as I mentioned before, by combining MBC and XR technology, combining these two, the MBC approach and XR technology, industries or all organization, we do believe, can realize a profound improvement in the efficiency in the situation where they have to integrate a new system or a complex systems. And so a model-based approach can manage complex system. This is the reason for us. While XR enhances systems life cycle, so we have to introduce the XR approach in the system life cycle. And so you can figure out the simulation, the real-time data visualization, just to reduce the risk, improve decision-making, improve the design, improve the maintenance activity, and so. For example, when MBCE allows for simulating system behaviors, just to an example, under different condition, XR can provide immersive experience for user to interact, with BSC-based simulation.
Okay.
Just one thing, sorry to interject. We were talking to Christian just before that his experience has been tried, to create that convergence by having people meeting up in a virtual environment with 3D models of the product. And that did not quite work out. Why did not that not work out? Perhaps the modeling effort was excellent, but is as Giovanni said, is the life cycle. So that use cases was not kept in mind from at the beginning. So that those models will have to be loaded in a virtual environment, be manipulated by real-time users, also connected to a virtual environment, was not actually anticipated, and that led to a sort of a failure of the entire endeavor. So let's not forget our basis of systems engineers and keep in mind the importance of understanding the life cycle. Sorry, I will.
Sure. Yeah, speaking of life cycle and real world examples, do you have an example in your book that you can share where MBSE was successfully applied in the context of the industrial metaverse?
In the book, we introduce the concept of a predictive maintenance activity. We want to see these aspects on the other side. So you know that now we can introduce a maintenance activity by using the AI, for instance. We in our book, we want to see a dark side of a metaverse by, for example, by digital twins and MBC approach. We can create a digital twin using MBC approach. We can maintain, of course, the same digital twin. Why not? Consider that if we make a change to the design, we can estimate the impact at first. We can simulate a maintenance operation. Therefore, combining XR technology with MBSE, maintenance activity can be improved. So this is an example. We want to introduce this. In particular, either using a digital twin or a simple simulation, as you want, because the simulation, also the simulation, can be a part of XR approach or XR technology. It's not enough to represent the digital twin without a simulation. And so we can simulate, and we can have a proof if the model we introduce, that we have introduced it, it's good or not. Anyway, so we can test a scenario, we can test we can optimize the system performance without disrupting, actual production line or something like that.
But so you mentioned digital twins, and there's also, I would say, a merge going on between digital twins community and the MBSE community. It fits perfectly together. I think the gap between these two communities is still too wide, but they're merging. For example, the OMG, they're playing a big role in the MBSE community with the SysMA standardization, and they also have this digital twin consortium, and they meet at the same time at the same location and sort of come together. So that fits perfectly together. And you mentioned that digital twins and simulation, and now there's the XR stuff. So is it that I see the digital twin, so my system, my production line, then in a 3D world, and then I can interact with the models? Is that the idea behind the industrial metaverse?
Yeah, so the digital twins are integral to the MBCE framework because we do believe that they provide a dynamic, real-time model of a physical system. I mentioned before, continuous update with the data from sensor operation and so on. So this digital twin and its simulation support data-driven decision by providing continuous accurate system data, helping operators make informed adjustment, and so you can manage the risk. So you can use it only to manage the risk. Why not? And digital twin can facilitate, I mentioned before, the predict maintenance, the reducing downtime, so the estimate the best time to do any activity, operational activity. And so finally, we can see that the digital twin, just to be clear, when integrated into the MBC framework, the digital twin or vice versa, significantly enhanced the efficiency, flexibility, and reliability of a complex system, because our objective is to model the to find a right model of a complex system. And we can represent it by XR technology or digital twin, of course.
And as you told us before this episode, what I understood is that one of your key selling points of your book is helping readers understand the return on investment on XR. And sometimes it's already difficult to explain people the ROI on MBSE, and how could I even measure ROI on MBSE in combination with XR? Do you have any ideas on that?
Yes. So it is complex. People understand, or what they can see. And for instance, if you talk about let's say a configurator for your car, you go to a car dealership and you see they might have a configurator with a 3D model, and then you ask for certain features to your car, and it will show real time how the car is going to change to reflect the presence or absence of those features. You know, that's something that people understand. So you say, okay, I want to do a configurator for my new Maserati or my new Toyota, whatever. And okay, you say, okay, the customers will be happier. There will be less mistakes in the sale process. And you can sort of start thinking about the calculation of the return on investment on something that is not yet developed, like industrial metaverse applications and so on, is extremely difficult. So we took the help of the association AREA, which has experience in this field. So AREA is an association, is a augmented reality for enterprise alliance, and they have created a group of an association of companies that do augmented reality technology that deal with it, and on their website a tool is available to calculate the return on investment on a simple augmented reality use case, which we also feature in the book with an example. Of course, which are the parameters to include in these calculations? Well, the cost reduction, the efficiency gains, minimization of errors, manufacturing and maintenance process improvement, reduction of costly rework. So, but this works only when we have the foundation in place. Because if the foundation is not in place, the infrastructure is not in place, of course, I mean, most of the ROI calculations connected to XR or the metaverse type of environment will not be positive, let's say, will not show like a quick return on investment.
So for many people, XR technology and blockchain is future technology. But I learned now that's, well, you said that the time is overripe for those technologies, so we can start just now with it, and should do that. So if a company is would like to do that, what can they do? Well, they can read your book. But what's your advice for them to start with it and to convince them to start with it?
Well, first of all, well, they should, as I was saying earlier, you know, they should put the foundations in place. So they need to make sure that they have the building blocks, which are described in the book. They needed to invest on high impact pilot projects to start convincing people in the company. And yes, people, I think, is key because this type of technology, I mean, I'm referring to sort of virtual environments, but also the blockchain and AI can scare people away. And the people that are a big part of return on investment, the people that are the adopters within the company are not just your customers, but are the people, you know, the engineers, the managers within your own company. And these people need to be convinced that the approach works. So we need to win this sort of fear, you know, that every employee will have to put a headset on and move their life into a sort of a nightmarish virtual space. No, it's nothing like that. So for me, a gamification approach can be useful to start convincing people. So to create some virtual reality get-togethers or some added value proof of concept, and to include in to also deal with the concerns of people. You know, cyber sickness is a problem that needs to be addressed. It's less and less today, but it is a problem. Some people don't feel comfortable with the immersive technology and needs to be addressed. So a lot of work should be done on the people side, and of course on the technology side to prepare, as I said, the server architecture infrastructure that is needed to support such endeavors, as well as have very solid use cases, and use cases that do not stop, you know, going back to the point of the life cycle at we do the proof of concept and we stop. But what we do after, how these different prototypes are going to connect together and lead to something bigger, to that scale up of the utilization of the technology in the companies.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
I've never heard the word cyber sickness. That's a nice
Yeah,
word.
that was new to me too. Yeah.
But it's not
I
it,
spent some time in a long time in virtual reality, like 6 or 7 hours. You start feeling it too, So gamers, no, they know very well. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, maybe some a different kind of question, but writing such a book means you're kind of experts in this field, but you also included other expert interviews, and it would be from interest. Did you get some surprising takeaways from these interviews, or was it just what you expected?
Well, we interviewed a number of people, because again, it in such large, we are the frontier, it is scouted by the sort of pioneers. So we had to talk to such pioneers to understand their view. And what came out of the interviews that you can read in the last chapter of the book, and among these interviewees, we have both young entrepreneurs, very enthusiastic and more sort of navigated business people. They all converged on what Giovanni was saying, so the need of having strong digital twins of our products to as a sort of connection point. For the simulations, the maintenance, the configurator, so all most of the use cases that we may have connected to the technology we've been talking about, and of course all the interviewees, I mean, most of them, they were grounded on what they experienced themselves, like meeting in a virtual environment, viewing or interacting with the products, so that's always the foundation. So what people, so the virtual interaction, and a lot of them, of course, focus on what you can do in virtual reality, for instance, that you cannot do in person. Like you cannot step in virtual reality with people from all over the world and take apart your satellite or your car and dismantle it, or simulate some operation that maybe can be done only in the core of a nuclear reactor. That these advanced visualization technologies, they really take you where people cannot go. So firmly grounded on what they have seen, they all focused on the importance of having a strong digital twins of the products, which cannot be done without a strong modeling foundation. So going back to the wrapping back up to the MBA, the importance of deploying MBSE at scale in the company.
Okay, so well, we heard a lot of stuff about the industrial metaverse from you, and which raises the expectation reading the book. So when the book is coming out, can I already buy it? It's already there.
So the book is coming out next month. It's published by A Press, and but the book is only a starting point for us for a conversation. So if you want, contact us in AI Shed to talk about it, and if you want to meet in a virtual environment, on we can create a metaverse dwelling where to discuss such matters and test things out. Feel free to reach out to us.
So you have a test bed for the industry metaverse.
Yes.
Cool.
We can have, maybe one day we will have this podcast in the metaverse.
That
Why
would
not?
be interesting, yeah.
Yeah, okay, next time. Cool. So, Christian, I assume you put the links to the show notes. It's in
Correct.
the YouTube show notes, right? Not on our
Yeah,
website, it's
we
on
can also
the
put it on the website, so yeah.
website. Yeah, you can, yeah, put it on both. Cool. So, well, yeah, time flies by. It's we come to the end of this episode. Alessandro, Giovanni, thanks.
Oh, you already have a copy.
Yes.
Okay.
But just of course.
Nice.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for being our guests again. It was a pleasure to have you with us. And yeah, the next one with you is then in the industrial metaverse.
Yeah.
Okay, so as usual, well, the next topic, so the next episode will be around about in a month, in March 24th. So we already scheduled it, and we already know the topic. It's about the OSAM methodology with SysML-v2, and we have Andrew Moxon, Ryan Logocci, and Sandy Friedenthal with us. So a large round talking about OSAM. That will be quite interesting. And well, it's exactly 4 days behind sending the final submission to SysML-v2 to the OMG. So it's 4 or 5 days. But yeah, it's very hot during that time. Okay, and as usual, well, do not forget.
Trust us, we are systems engineers.
Okay,
Goodbye.
thank you very much. Bye bye.